Okay, then if we open our Bibles for a second time to Romans chapter 14. Last Sunday, on the Lord's Day morning then, I gave a kind of overview of the whole chapter. And of course, this is something I have taught most of you on before, both in a sermon I gave around a year and a half ago, but also recently in our church membership classes. This is one of the things we cover. And although I think most of you are getting the gist of what I'm saying, it did become apparent to me afterwards, after reflecting on some of the conversations I was having Sunday afternoon, that at least some of you have, at least in part, misunderstood me and were coming away with meanings and applications from this chapter that I certainly was not saying, nor indeed do these verses teach. And so, after giving an overview of the whole chapter last time, we're going to begin now to go through these verses one section at a time in more detail, and hopefully, with the Lord's help, any misunderstandings will be rectified, put right. So make sure you give your utmost attention now to the reading of Scripture and to this sermon to make sure you yourself understand these things correctly. So let's all stand as we read the word of our Lord. I'll read Romans 14, verses 1 to 6. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or fall, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, whilst the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Let's pray. Our Father, we just pray that you would teach us now through your word, teach us how to live lives set apart for you, for your glory. To love God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, this chapter, Romans 14, has to do with Christians who have certain types of differences, and how we should relate with and treat other Christians, especially in our church settings, with these types of differences. But the first thing I want to make clear, the major thing I want to make clear in this sermon, is the type of differences that this passage is talking about. This is where I think at least two or three people, so possibly more, misunderstood me. So let's make sure we properly understand all these things. And so the first thing I want to point out is that these differences between the Christians in this church in Rome are not merely just matters of opinion. Let me give you an example of what I am talking about. This passage is not talking about when, let's say, there are two Christians, perhaps two Christians in our church, or two Christians in a family. And one person says to the other, well, I think we should be doing this way. And the other says, no, I think we should be doing this way instead. And they give the various reasons for their opinion. But you see, neither way is sin. And none of you can say that either way is sin. You just think your way is better than their way. You may have a strong opinion that your way is best. If you're married, If you're newly married, like Marcin and Sandra, as Marcin is about to find out. The opinions of your wife are a bit like, you know, that game you have where you have the hammer and you could hit it, how hard? And, you know, you have a thing and you hit it hard and there's like a scoreboard and the harder you hit it, the more it goes up. Well, if you see how strong her opinions are, if you look right to the top of the scoreboard and just above, all the way to the moon. You see, you may have a very strong opinion that your way is best, but neither way is clear sin. It's just a matter of opinion, a difference of opinion. Well, that is not the type of thing this chapter is talking about. What this chapter is talking about is when a person is convinced they are sinning against God to do whatever. When something is not actually sinful. Not just the convinced of doing something sinful, but they are. What it's about is when things they are convinced they are sinning against God for doing that are not actually sinful. Let's consider this in the text once again. In verse 1 it says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him." As we noted last time, when it talks about the person who is weak in faith here, in verse 1 of this chapter, the way in which this person's is weak in faith is not meaning he or she is lacking in assurance. This person is not like the man who said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." That is not what this is referring to. As we said, a weak faith here is much better translated weak in the faith. The article, the word "the," is in the original language. I have no idea why certain translations miss it out, but it's there in the original. You see, in the faith, meaning like in Christ, meaning they are in the faith. They are Christians, these people. As the verse also says, they have been welcomed and accepted by God. We are to accept and welcome them as God has accepted and welcomed them. And as you read on, we are told this person is following the Lord and God is able to make him or her stand. So, that tells us, as we said, that these types of differences that these Christians have with one another, that this passage talks about, they are not over matters that are essential to salvation. Because those types of people who differ on matters that are essential to salvation are not in the faith. Those people are not accepted by God. As Paul said in Galatians, if anyone preaches another gospel, in the context of another gospel there, being adding works to salvation, Paul does not say, well, they've just got a difference here, but accept them. No, he said, let them be anathema, accursed of God, that person. In Romans 10, we're told that in order to be saved, someone must believe from themselves certain truths from the heart. That Jesus is Lord, that he is Jehovah God, the creator of the universe. You must believe that Jesus died to pay for your sins and he rose again, showing them all paid for. And so, you're right with God entirely because of what Jesus has done for you. You see, a person cannot be saved without believing certain truths. And so these people in Romans 14, they are in the faith. They have been accepted by God. God has welcomed them, and so they must believe and understand those truths that are essential to salvation. So that tells us these differences of opinion are over matters that are not essential to salvation, because again, God has not welcomed the people who differ on those things. They are not in the faith, they are accursed of God. And so, if you remember the way in which we pointed out that they are weak in the faith here, well, Paul, he tells us with examples he gives in the next verses. As verse 2 reads, one person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person, the one who is weak in the faith, in this example, eats only vegetables. Now, the way he's weak is not because he's a vegetarian. If you remember me saying, giving you some context, that this church, living in first century Rome, is made up of Christians from all different backgrounds. And prior to conversion, you have some believers in this church who came from a Jewish background. And so all they had ever known prior to coming to saving faith was all these strict Jewish dietary laws about all these unkosher meats and Sabbath regulations and so forth. And so they had not yet come to a correct understanding that it is okay, as Paul clearly states here in verses 14 and 20, that it is okay to eat these meats now. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus, in the Christian faith, that nothing is unclean in itself. Paul states a fact there. There are no unkosher meats in the New Covenant. Those Old Testament dietary laws and regulations, as we said, they were only for the Jews in the time leading up to the first coming of the Messiah. Galatians 3:25 makes that plain. But you see, some Christians didn't realize this, those from a Jewish background. And so they had not come to this fuller understanding. And so they were convinced they were sinning against God if they ate the meat sold in the Roman markets. And on the other hand, some of the Christians in this church prior to their conversion came from a Gentile background. And so because they knew that the meat sold on the Roman markets only a few days before had been sacrificed to Zeus or some other false god with lots of immorality going on, they thought they were sinning by eating the meats. You see, this is how they were weak in faith. They were weak in their understanding of the Christian faith. That it is okay to eat these meats, as Paul states clearly in verses 14 and 20. As our Lord Jesus said, he declared all foods clean. There are no unkosher meats now. And as Paul made clear to the Corinthians, since those idol gods the meat was sacrificed to don't exist because there's only one true God, it's okay to eat the meat. I'm ringing a little. Could you turn us just a touch? Thanks. But not all Christians had come to this correct knowledge on this point yet. You see, the way they are weak in the faith is they are weak in the understanding of the Christian faith regarding their liberty and freedom to have these things. But as far as things that are essential to salvation, they understood those things, otherwise they would not be in the faith. If you was to ask these weak brothers or sisters, what is the reason for the hope that is within you? If you was to die today, why should God let you into heaven? Well, these people would not hesitate to say, because of Jesus Christ, I am fully accepted by God because of Christ and what he's done for me. But in regards to their freedom as Christians to enjoy these unkosher meats, and that they were not bound up by all these Sabbath laws and regulations and observance of days and so forth, they had not yet come to a correct understanding on those things. And so the way they are weak is they are weak in the understanding of the Christian faith. They did not realize the liberty on these matters. Now, what I'm pointing out though, listen closely, And the reason why I'm explaining all this again is because these matters that these Christians differ over, that they had not yet come to a correct understanding on, were not over merely just differences of opinion. As in, they were not over matters like, you know, I think we should do this way, and another person thinks, no, I think we should do this instead. But neither of you can honestly stink or state the other person's in sin. You may have very, very strong opinions that your way is best. But that is not the kind of differences of opinion that these verses speak of. You see, the essence of the wrong understanding of these weak Christians here, the upshot of these differences, is these people are absolutely convinced, according to their current understanding of Scripture, they are convinced that they are sinning before God if they eat certain meats or don't observe certain days in a certain way, and so forth. As Paul gives the correct understanding and states in verse 14 and 20, they are not actually sinning to do these things, but according to their current understanding, they are convinced that they are. But they haven't come to the correct knowledge that it's okay to do these things. And of course, last time I gave an example of why, if something is not actually sin to do something, then what does it matter if you do it? The example I gave was, if I tell one of my children it's okay to do a certain things, but they mishear me, like these Jewish believers had, and what they think I've said is, under no circumstances do this, then if they actually do it, it's done in rebellion, and they are going to go against their conscience and sear it. We'll look at more of that in the coming weeks. But the point I'm making today is that these differences of opinion that these Christians have with one another, they are not over matters essential to salvation, but they are also not just merely differences of opinion, but they are differences where the other person is convinced they are sinning by doing a certain thing that is not actually sin. You see, that's the thing here. That's what these things are about. Not just matters of opinion, but they are differences where the other person is convinced they are sinning by doing a certain thing that are not actually sin. You see, there is a difference between causing a brother to grumble and causing them to stumble. You see, don't misuse these verses to just try and put your foot down and say, I want my way. You know, I'm a Frank Sinatra Christian. Not that he was a Christian, and neither will you be a very good one if you try to have your own way all the time. Don't misuse these verses, though, to neglect whatever authority God has given you and responsibility. You know, don't misuse these verses to neglect bringing your children up as Christians in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You see, what I'm saying is, in making decisions as what to do in your family, in your day-to-day life, the Christian way is not Burger King. You have it your way. It's not Burger King Church. You know, many times you will have differences of opinion as to that your way is best, very strong opinions. But someone has to lead a family, someone has to lead a church and so forth. We have to do many things in life that we might not think is the best way. In leading your family, the husband or the father has to say, well, we're doing this way on certain matters because Scripture says this. You see, the main thing I'm trying to get through to you today is there a difference over matters of conscience, where the person thinks they're sinning by doing something, there is a difference between matters of conscience and than what is merely a difference of opinion. For instance, in a marriage, a wife is, according to Ephesians, is to submit to her husband, but not when it would cause her to sin, and not when it would cause her to do what it is, according to her understanding, she is convinced is sin. You don't make her go against the conscience. Although, like in this instance, it may not be sin. But if a wife is convinced it is, she shouldn't go against the conscience. But if it's merely just a matter of opinion, something that Christians differ over, then the wife should not put her foot down. You see, many times, and there are many different ways you can put this into practice, many times there are Christians who try to put their foot down on an issue and get their own way on things that are just merely matters of opinion. When it's not really. I mean, where to live is a matter of opinion, isn't it? What is the best church to be part of? Of course. Going to a bad church, bad for the soul, well, that's sin. That's different. Now, let me also clarify something else, though. These verses are not teaching that we are to overlook in other Christians some things that are clearly sin. You see, quite the opposite. These misunderstandings, again, were that these Christians weakened their understanding. They thought they were doing things that were sinful when they were not actually sinful. So Paul is not saying here, if someone is doing something that is clearly sinful according to Scripture, then don't give them any correction. Don't rebuke them. Because these things in the text that they misunderstand, they think they're sinful, but they're not in and of themselves. You see, when it comes to what is clearly sin in Scripture, Paul does rebuke. He does bring correction. Things that are just out and out sin. So these verses are not teaching what your brother over there is. If someone says, well, I don't think it's sin doing this, when it's something that clearly is, I once had, long, long time ago, someone who came, wanted to spread loads of false teachings and division in the church, and he actually brought up our statement of faith on matters of conscience, and he said, well, it's going against my conscience. And I said, no, what you're doing is sin. You see, Paul does rebuke and correct. Like in the case of the Corinthians, he warns them that those practicing certain sins will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He even tells them there to put one man out of the church for being in a certain sin. In Romans 16, Paul tells the Christians there to mark the divisive people, put a mark on them and avoid them. And those spreading bad doctrine and so forth. And so, when someone is doing something that is clearly sinful according to Scripture, he's not saying in this passage, well, just agree to differ. Now then, but when you have differences of opinion, though, that, you know, are not sinful, like you think this way, you think that way, don't go to the world's extreme on this. We are not to be conformed to the fallen mindset of this world as Christians, we're told at the beginning of chapter 12. And what I mean in respect to this now is, what does the world do today if someone has a difference of opinion from them? Well, what they do is they label them. You're racist, you're xenophobic, you're a don't-agree-with-me-a-phobic. In fact, you're the most evil person in the universe. Your dad is Adolf Hitler, and you are collaborating with the Russians. You see, in order to try and get their own way, the mindset of the fallen world is to just label and slander the other person, wicked for having a difference of opinion. Well, we should not fall into that as Christians and make things a bigger deal than they are. If you do that, you're being worldly. You see, just because another Christian is doing something or prefers something that is not to your particular taste, or you don't think it's best, you may have a discussion about it. You may share scripture. But don't go to the extreme if it's not clear sin, if it's just a difference of opinion. Don't go to the extreme of trying to label someone as sinful that's not in sin in order just to try and win an argument and have your own way. You're being very worldly and unchristlike when you do that. But also, the convincing here is being convinced according to Scripture. And being convinced according to the correct understanding, although it's incorrect with these weak Christians at the moment, but they are convinced according to their current understanding of what the Bible teaches, that if they do certain things, they are sinning against the Lord. So they're not to do them yet until they come to a correct understanding. You see, convinced according to Scripture. Listen, don't use this special mysterious guidance to get your own way. What I mean is that a brother, a pastor in another country told me yesterday they had a couple in their church who were quite troublesome, not fully committed, and they had some concerns over them. So the pastor went to speak with them in love and share his concerns and about why. And the people responded by saying, well, we've prayed about it, I'm going to leave the church. And I said to him, you know, isn't it amazing that whenever the most troublesome and unstable people leave a church, they always say, well, you know, I've prayed about it and I've fasted after much praying and fasting. And people often say that, don't they? I've prayed about it and fasted before announcing the most bizarre decisions. They never say, I'm doing this because clearly this is what Scripture teaches. They've not consulted God's word on the matter, and if they do, they just give a verse completely out of context. You see, most of the time these people are acting in defiance to what the word of God plainly says. But they try to make themselves sound spiritual, saying, well, you know, I've prayed about it. Listen, the Holy Spirit does not tell you to go against what is clearly taught in God's word, which he inspired. So don't use that kind of talk to try and get your own way. It's funny when people go to pray and fast over a decision, when instead of consulting the word of God, when they're going against, they always come back and tells them whatever they want to hear. But anyway, that's what I wanted to get across today, that these differences that these weak Christians have, they are not over matters essential to saving faith. They are certainly clear about those things, otherwise they wouldn't be in the faith. These differences are not over matters that are clearly sin. We are to give correction, sometimes gently, sometimes more harshly, whatever's needed for the occasion. We are not to be indifferent about it, though. And these differences are not merely differences of opinion. as in I think I should do something a certain way, someone else thinks the other. You know, a Christian father or husband, for instance, without causing his family to sin or go against their conscience, and in living with his wife in an understanding way, and not exasperating his children, he must do his best before the Lord in leading his family in making decisions. There's going to be differences of opinion there. But these differences are especially newer Christians. Not the more maturer, but they are convinced certain things are sinning when they are not sinning, and we don't push them. I spoke more on that. We come to a correct understanding first. So let's pray, and we'll continue with this in the coming weeks, Lord willing. Our Father, we just pray that you would help us with these principles to not be unruly, but to be loving, to be kind, to be gentle. I pray you'd help us when we have differences of opinion to be able to speak truth in love and to be guided by Scripture. Not to twist Scripture, but let the word of the Lord lead us. Give us much grace, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.